for our evening reading. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke and read from chapter number 19, beginning with verse number 28. Luke 19, 28.
Evanđelje po Luci, 19. glava, početak od 28. broj.
And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he came nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found, even as he said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him unto Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, and they could not find what they might do. The psalmist has said that, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The Lord Jesus Christ here at this time is bringing his earthly ministry to a close. He has done what his Father would had him to do in terms of speaking the word and showing that he himself was, in fact, the Son of God. And he was making his way from up north and coming down through Jericho and then going up the hills up into Jerusalem. And he's arriving now at Bethphage with Bethany and near to the Mount of Olives. And this is now his last time entering into Jerusalem. And he's getting ready in about a week's time to give his life as a ransom for all mankind, for the sins of the whole world. And for us, if we know we are going into a difficult situation, into a situation that we know is going to be difficult for us, and there's going to be adversity, as it was for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would go with some hesitation, and we would likely be irritable as well. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in knowing that he was giving his life for the ransom for the whole world, was coming and knowing what was going to befall him. And as he's coming, he's doing these great things. So as he's coming into Jerusalem, as he's coming into Jericho, he heals the man that was blind there just outside the city of Jericho. And then he comes into Jericho, and he sees Zacchaeus. Excuse me, I forgot his name. He sees Zacchaeus, and he's speaking to Zacchaeus again, knowing that he's going up to Jerusalem to give his life as a ransom for many. And he goes to Zacchaeus, and he says, "Make haste and come down, for I must abide in thy house." And he gladly receives him, and Zacchaeus repents of all the evil that he has done. And Jesus says to him, "Today is salvation come into this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham." Jesus doing these wonderful things, and then they were all in expectation that the kingdom of God was going to come now at this time. And he taught them, no, that's not the case. And he taught them what the kingdom of God was about. And so he's spending his days in preparation of giving his life for a ransom for many. And he's coming to this hour where he would die upon the cross. And he calls this hour his hour of glory. And so the psalmist says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." The Lord Jesus Christ here in these days was doing what God the Father would have him to do. And he was speaking the truth. He was doing miracles. And he was being a blessing unto others. And he was giving of himself. And so as we give an account of our days, that we would number our days, that we would think that we ought to be as the Lord Jesus Christ was as well. That we would give of our lives. That we would share that which the Lord has given unto us. That we would be a blessing unto others as Jesus here was to them. So he's making his way, ascending up to Jerusalem, and he comes to Bethany and to the mount, which is called the Mount of Olives, and he sends two of his disciples. We don't know who these two disciples are. In Matthew's account of this and also in Mark's account of this, these two disciples are not named. They're not named here either. But he sends two of his disciples, and he says, "Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, where yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither." This is what the Lord Jesus Christ told these two disciples to do. The Lord knew these things. There is nothing hid from the Lord. He's making his way from Jericho up to Jerusalem. He's at this Mount of Olives, and he says, "Now go over into the next village and get this colt that's tied there, and a man has never sat on it." The Lord knew that. That the Lord knew that that colt was there. And yet the Lord, we know, knows all things. He knows all things. The Bible says, "There neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." God knows everything. He's the creator of all things. And of all things that he's created, he knows it all. And there's nothing hid from him. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we love. This is the God who knows us. The psalmist says, "He telleth the number of the stars, and he calleth them all by their names." The Lord knows all things. The great, great things, all the galaxies. He knows all of the stars. He calls them all by their names. He knows all these things. There is no creature that is not manifest in his sight, but is naked and open unto him. He knows all things. And that should give us comfort. That should give us great comfort that God knows all things. In Job, we read that he that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. That's a beautiful, comforting thought. He that is perfect in knowledge, he who knows all things, he who knows the number of stars and calls them all by their names, that he is with us. He is with us. He that is perfect in knowledge. perfect in knowledge, complete, knows all things, he is with us. And so that gives us great comfort and great joy. And so this was a very small thing for the Lord Jesus to simply say, go into the next village and you'll find a colt there, and a man has never sat on him, bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why loose ye him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. This was a blessed opportunity for the disciples to do what he would have them to do, and for those who would witness of that to allow this colt to be used by the Lord Jesus Christ. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he said unto them. It was exactly how Jesus said. They knew. The Lord Jesus knew. And it was just exactly as he said unto them. And as they were loosing the colts, the owner thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? The Bible here records that the owners of this colt were asking the question, why are you loosing the colt? But isn't it so that he who owns all things is the Lord's? Is the Lord? And he owned this colt, not those who purchased with money this colt, but the Lord owns all things. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Every beast of the forest is his. But they had a blessed opportunity to allow this colt to be used for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, the Lord hath need of him. So they fought, these two disciples followed the instructions that the Lord had given unto them perfectly. They did everything that the Lord asked. And it happened just as the Lord said it would happen. And they spoke to the people that the Lord has need of him. And so they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. So they did everything that Jesus told them to do, but now we don't have record that Jesus told them to do these things, to set the garments on the colt and set Jesus thereon. But this is what they did. This is what these disciples did. And as they went, they spread their clothes in the way. Again, we have no record that Jesus told them to do that, but yet they did these things. And when he was come nigh, even now to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Here's a group of disciples. And they are glorifying the Lord. They are laying garments out in his way. They're waving the palm trees. And they're glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ because they were witness to all the things which he had done. Just earlier, he had given sight to this man that was blind here just outside of Jericho. And all these things that had happened even before that, they were witnesses to these mighty works. And they glorified God. They gave of themselves. They used these days that they were given, giving account of these days to the Lord. They were numbering their days, and they were applying their hearts unto wisdom, giving glory to the Lord as it was due him. And they were saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. When Jesus was born, the angels proclaimed peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Now the disciples are saying peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Glory was being given unto the Lord as it was due unto him. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And so, as is always the case, Jesus faced opposition. And he was facing the opposition now of the Pharisees, that a great work was being done, and glory was being given to the Lord for the great things that and his mighty works that he has done. And yet now the Pharisees are saying, Master, which really he wasn't a master to them. They were saying, rebuke thy disciples, trying to halt the praise that was given unto the Lord. Psalmist says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The disciples recognized this. This multitude of disciples who were with Jesus Christ and witnessed the things that he has done were praising the Lord, and it was a comely thing to do. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the brokenhearted and bindeth up their wounds. The disciples had been witness to Jesus Christ as he did these things while he was here upon this earth. While he applied his heart to wisdom, and while he was doing what the Lord would have him to do. Great is our Lord, and of great power, his understanding is infinite. It was much more that he knew that that colt was tied, and a man never sat on him that was over in that next village that he hadn't been to yet. Much more than that, the Lord's understanding is infinite. And so these disciples were praising the Lord, and the Pharisees were trying to stop that praise that was being given to the Lord. The Pharisees, then, were thieves. They were trying to take away that praise that belonged to the Lord. They wanted that praise for themselves. They weren't applying their hearts to wisdom, but they wanted that praise to themselves. And I think of this, it says, the multitude of the disciples, when they had seen the mighty works that they had done, this group was with the Lord at least for quite some time. When Judas Iscariot did what he had done, another one had to take his place. And then Peter's, in Acts of the Apostles, it's recorded, stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke concerning Jesus, which was guide to them that took Jesus." And then it says, "Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from among us, must one be ordained to be witness with us of his resurrection." So Peter was saying here that to replace Judas, Matthias was replaced Judas, and he was among those of the disciples that were with the multitude of disciples from the time that John the Baptist began proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven was come and that they should repent, to the time that Jesus rose up from among them. And so it was here that this group of disciples, Matthias was likely among them as they were proclaiming, "Blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace on heaven and glory in the highest." And so Jesus answered the Pharisees, saying, "I tell you that if they should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." It is appropriate, it is the right thing that praise would be given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, thinking now that Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and he knows the wickedness of the Pharisees and the scribes. He knows what the Roman soldiers are going to do to him. He knows that there was hardness of heart among the Jews, and there were those that wouldn't listen to him, because he came to his own and his own received him not. But yet he had a love for the Jews. It says, when he was come near and he beholds the city of Jerusalem, he wept over it. He didn't have animosity. He didn't want to take revenge. He wept over the city. And he says, if thou hadst known, even thou, in at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, if you would just know that the Anointed One is here with you, that the Messiah has come, and he is to give you peace, and he is to give you life, and he is to give you forgiveness of sins, and he is to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children hearts of the children to the fathers. If you would only know, he's weeping, the things which belong to thy peace, but now are they hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave thee one stone upon another. And this happened not long after Jesus ascended, because they rejected the Anointed One. They rejected the Christ. They would not hear his message. They wanted to take away that which did not belong to them. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. The temple was dedicated to serving the Lord. And it was so that Jesus wanted that temple to be as it was designed, that it would be a house of prayer, where those that were in need, that they would be able to come there and pray unto the Lord, and that they would be able to have this worship of their Heavenly Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, But ye have made it a den of thieves. Thieves. We think of how Jesus described Satan, how he comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. That he's a thief. He comes to steal that which does not belong to him. That's what Satan does. And he wants to steal that which does not belong to him. And Jesus here is saying that ye have made it a den of thieves. The house of prayer. Ye have made it a den of thieves. Where you want to steal that which does not belong to you. And they wanted, these Pharisees wanted that praise that was given to Jesus for themselves. They were thieves. And further he says, And he taught daily in the temple. This is how the Lord spent his last days here upon this earth, teaching daily in the temple. Here it was. He rode into Jerusalem, and then a week later he would be giving his life. And it says here that he taught daily in the temple, teaching the word of God, teaching what God would have them to know, allowing them to understand the fullness of God, and for them to recognize that Messiah has come. He was there daily, and it says that the people were very attentive to hear him. They were applying their hearts to wisdom. They were numbering their days. They were taking an account of their days. They were redeeming the time. And they were listening to what the Lord was teaching there in the temple daily. It says, But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. Again, that definition of Jesus and what he, or the definition of Satan and what he does is he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And it says here that the people sought to destroy Jesus. They were following their father. They were following Satan. And they sought to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that they could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. They couldn't do it, because Jesus' time was not yet come. But Jesus then gave his life when the time was come. And so we do well to number our days, to take an account of our days. We see how Jesus spent his days. And we see how he fulfilled what he was sent here to do. And God calls us not to do our own will, but to do the will of the Father, and to bless his name, and to glorify him, and to speak of the things which Jesus Christ has done, to be a witness for him, and to declare his mighty acts that he has done in our lives and throughout the history of mankind. May God grant us grace day by day as we follow in his way and as we do what he would have us to do in living out our lives and applying our hearts to wisdom. In the Zion's Harp, there's a verse here in hymn number 185 that says, Come, let us journey gladly, just as Jesus journeyed gladly, even walking to his death. Day follows after day, that the way grows shorter daily, the flesh soon proves but clay. More courage and more love, to be a little truer, of earthly matters freer, and turned to things above. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
As we read, the people, as Jesus entered into Jerusalem, they had expectations of him. And the same people who were crying, Hosanna, here in just a week were crying, crucify him. He didn't meet their expectations. What they wanted was not what he was bringing. He came as a king, but not as a king of the kingdoms of this world. A king in the kingdom of this world would never sacrifice himself. He sacrifices his subjects for himself. Jesus alone sacrificed himself for the people. He came lowly. He didn't come to rule as a king rules, with fierceness and authority in that manner, but he came to rule with love and grace and mercy. And this isn't what the people were looking for. As a brother mentioned, that just struck me so hard when he said that Satan has one goal: to kill, destroy, steal. That's his one goal. He'll do it by any means he can, anything. It's all by lies and deceit. That's it. And this is called Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, where he declares himself as the king. But dear ones, even as the brother mentioned in the prayer, he's looking to make a triumphal entry into our hearts, where he will change us so that we reflect him in our life. And even as this donkey it had life in and of itself, it had life, but it wasn't free. It needed to be untied. So you have life, but you need to be untied. And even as that donkey lifted up Christ, so we are to lift him up in our hearts and show him, or show the world, who rules in our hearts. Not as a king of this world, but one who sacrificed himself for us. As Hebrews 9 says, it says, it says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Do we look for him? Who do we look for? What do we look for in him? Does he meet our expectations? And so, dear ones, these same people that were so thrilled to see him turned away from him and had no use for him. When we call upon the Lord, do we only want him to meet our needs, what we think we need? And if he doesn't supply that, we have no use for him. Crucify him. And how do we do that? Through sin. That's what the Bible says. We crucify him afresh. What a horrible thought. That we listen to the one who wants to kill, destroy, and steal, and the one who comes with love and mercy and grace and peace, we reject. So, dear ones, our prayer today is that we would truly see Christ high and lifted up as he is in heaven, that he would be so in our hearts, so that we would, by our life, reflect the life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.